It's time for Health, Happiness, and Healing with Hippocrates on Legends 100.3, brought to you by the Hippocrates Health Institute in West Palm Beach. Call for your tour today, 561-471-8876, or visit HippocratesHealthInstitute.org. Now here are the hosts of Health, Happiness, and Healing with Hippocrates, Anna Maria and Brian Clement.
This is Health, Happiness, and Healing with Anna Maria.
And Brian Clement from Hippocrates Wellness. It's great to be back with all of you again. I hope wherever you are, there's so much happiness and joy around you that you're content enough to open your minds. Today, as always, we have an extraordinary guest on, Mary Beth Pfeiffer. She's author of Lyme, of course, which is a formidable disorder that's spreading around the world like fire. The subtitle, which I love, is The First Epidemic of Climate Change, which I completely concur with, but I'm glad she put it in that terminology. This is something that started in the Northeast here in the United States, and there's pockets of it all over the United States that are just as bad as Connecticut and Long Island. And we are seeing people, as we have for decades, on an ongoing basis suffering this. The medical profession is just beginning to slightly acknowledge it. The testing has been appalling, to say the least. It's improved slightly, but people don't know what they have. Conventional doctors are telling people they have mental illness, and the list goes on. And the symptomologies that this poses for people goes everything from mental confusion to pains, excruciating pains in the joints, a pulsating heart. I mean, it mimics many other diseases, so it can be missed unless somebody's congruent to the fact that bugs are actually injecting poison, this spirochete, inside of the body, and there's different families of this that disturb the immune system and the tissue of the body at such a deep level. It's shocking. It's shocking. So, Mary Beth, how the heck did you ever get into all of this? You're a journalist.
Yes, I am. I am an investigative journalist in particular, and I happen to live in what turns out to be something on the order of ground zero for Lyme disease. Uh-huh. It is among the places in the world with the highest rates of Lyme disease, very close to the Connecticut shore, and that would be in the Hudson Valley of New York, where I'm located.
Yes.
And, I was well into my fourth decade of living here in the Hudson Valley as an investigative reporter, very aware of the problems of Lyme disease. I had Lyme disease. But I finally decided to take a look at it as an investigative reporter, not simply as someone who went to the doctor a couple of times and had family members affected. And I found a much different Lyme disease than the one that is commonly portrayed in the media. That is of a disease that's relatively easy to diagnose and easy to cure with a short course of antibiotics.
Hey, what a joke.
I found that was the model for some people and that it worked for some people. Unfortunately, it had worked for me, but there are a great number, many thousands of people who suffer many years after a simple bite of a tick. And the suffering is not only from the tick, but the way that mainstream medicine has managed this disease. It has managed it poorly. It has marginalized doctors who see a different Lyme disease and think we need to do things in a different way. And so to answer your question, I investigated it and I found a lot wrong with Lyme disease.
Yes.
So, yeah, a lot of our clients, our guests, come with Lyme disease. So we do everything we can, too, and to teach them and to do special treatments for that. But like you say, there is many different kinds. Everybody, yeah. It's not like everybody has the same. And many have been treated with antibiotic a long time, and it just hurt them.
Well, devastated their immune system, and the strain was so pervasive in their body, systemic in their body, that it didn't touch it. If you were fortunate, as you pointed out, it did help you.
Exactly.
That you probably had a more narrow or smaller infection, and you were you caught it soon enough so that you overwhelmed it. You tsunamied it with the antibiotics. And most likely you didn't devastate your probiotics, mm-hmm. Your intestinal flora, that destroys the very immune system that fights the Lyme's disease.
Well, yes, that's true. Yeah. And, you know, the tragedy here is that mainstream medicine, and in particular the Infectious Diseases Society of America, which has this stranglehold over this disease by virtue of their protocols and their treatment guidelines, which, by the way, are only recommendations. But mainstream medicine that has read these protocols and carries them out does accept the fact that 10 to 20% of people, at the very least, these are early treated and early diagnosed people, will remain sick for some period of time after treatment. These are the lucky ones also who got to the doctor, who may have seen the rash. So that's why I say this is a minimum, that it's 10 to 20% of people who remain ill, and the CDC also says this, for months and perhaps years after their tick bite.
Well,
one study I read said 15 years for 5% of people.
A quarter of a century ago, we incorrectly assumed that if you had the bite and you ran into the hospital to a physician's office and had the right antibiotic, that it would eradicate all. And then a landmark study came out and showed it only corrects 40%, that's how rapidly this little bug moves through you. I think the numbers that you're giving may be appropriate in the medical context, but I can assure you, I've worked with hundreds and hundreds of people that have had it for years, decade, two decades, three decades.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, to me, the sense is, and I don't know what the real numbers are, it's got to be much higher than 5%. Our medical team uniquely deals with this, and we've seen extraordinary results. And as long as people radically and permanently shift their lifestyle, because it's all about immunity, and then take these treatments, we've seen great results.
Yeah, you actually change the environment in your body. But you're right. This is actually the epidemic of climate change.
Yeah, explain it. Explain a little bit about that.
Yeah, explain more.
Well, we have, as human beings, greatly altered our environment. We know that.
Right.
And we have altered it to the extent that we've made it warmer. And, you know, we have lots of scientific studies showing that ticks are moving north, you know, north into Canada. Canada's a new frontier for Lyme disease. Moving up mountains, we have, you know, scientific data showing that they're higher up than they were, say, you know, 20, 30 years ago. But we've also altered the environment and the landscape in that, you know, we live in these idyllic suburban enclaves where we've sliced and diced the forest. And we don't have an environment in balance. We have lots of these small mammals like mice and chipmunks and voles and moles and that proliferate in these little enclaves without a lot of predators.
Yes.
And they help to, you know, feed ticks and help ticks to survive and to, you know, have happy lives and raise lots of babies. And deer certainly are part of that.
But I think you made a very valid point. Mm. So many people have heard about Lyme's and we call it deer ticks. But what you've just said correctly, other creatures, other animals, other bugs, actually carry the infection of Lyme's disease.
Yeah.
When we come back, we're not only going to talk about Lyme's disease, we're going to expand this conversation and get your view as an investigative reporter of what we've all just been through the last 3 years and unfortunately continue to go through with COVID-19. We'll be right back.
How are you feeling? Wellness awaits you right here in West Palm Beach. Hippocrates Wellness Institute has been transforming lives for over 50 years. Located on 60 lush acres, the Hippocrates Wellness Institute can reverse chronic disease, help you lose weight, increase your longevity and immunity. Call for your consultation and tour today, 561-471-8876. That's 561-471-8876 for Hippocrates Wellness Institute. Now back to Health, Happiness, and Healing with Hippocrates on Legends 100.3. Call for your tour today, 561-471-8876, or visit HippocratesHealthInstitute.org. Now here are the hosts of Health, Happiness, and Healing with Hippocrates, Anna Maria and Brian Clement.
This is Health, Happiness, and Healing with Brian.
And Anna Maria Clement at Hippocrates Wellness. And we're here with Maribeth Pfeiffer, investigative journalist and author. She's been writing this book about Lyme, and I'm sure you did a ton of research. What about the latest thing, the COVID?
Well, I've been writing about COVID-19 since March of 2020.
Oh.
Probably about 35 or 40 articles now. Mm. And it's very interesting because my experience with Lyme disease very much prepared me for what I found with COVID. Hmm. With Lyme, we have this group of doctors who reject the mainstream dogma and say there's a better way, there's a different way that we should be managing Lyme disease. And similarly, in the midst of this pandemic and this, you know, global emergency, a core group of very educated, very knowledgeable, widely published scientists and doctors and analysts has emerged to say, wait a minute, we can do this differently. And they came to the forefront very early on and suggested ways that we could, for example, treat COVID-19 with existing generic medications that were cheap, safe, and readily available.
Yes.
And
yeah.
What happened to these doctors and what happened to these medications? Mm-hmm. They were, you know, just tossed aside.
Yep.
Doctors lost reputations. They were told that their scientific papers could not be published. They were forced to redact and retract scientific papers because it didn't fit in with the mainstream narrative. And that narrative was highly limited to there's one way to solve this problem, and that's through mass vaccination. And that was wrong. That's what my life has been for the last 2.5 years.
Well, it's what our life has been, too, because
yes.
The Institute never closed.
Nope.
And
mm-hmm.
we watched the resulting effect of what's happened in this country, the manipulation.
And the fear.
The control
mm-hmm.
by the
mm-hmm.
pharmaceuticals and their agents that are in key positions in government, where countries like Indonesia gave out to all of the citizens freely ivermectin, which, by the way, although it's a pharmaceutical mm-hmm. drug, it's actually a natural medicine. It was mm-hmm. discovered by a Japanese gentleman, and in 1974, to be exact, he put it out. He found something in soil that literally so boosted the body's defenses, and it has been so effectively used for a wide variety of disorders.
And even Lyme.
Even Lyme's mm-hmm. disease. And by the way, there's virtually no side effects with this one. Now, so what happens? Have you ever actually talked to some of these agents of death and said to them, you know, what about Sweden that didn't lock down, didn't wear a mask, and the death rate was little? What about Israel, where they gave everyone, injections, 98%, and they had the highest death rate, mortality rate during Delta? And if you've asked those questions, what's the response back to you?
I have asked these questions many times, and I have written about this extensively. And, you know, as you said, ivermectin's been around for a long time. It is one of the safest drugs known to mankind, and there is documented evidence of that on a global website called VigiAccess, which lists how many people have died from every drug known to humanity.
Yes.
And it's a couple of dozen for ivermectin, and it's in the many thousands for something like Tylenol.
Yes.
The
tens of thousands, not many thousands,
yeah,
tens of thousands.
Yeah,
yes.
The irony of this is just unbelievable that they've tried to portray this as a dangerous drug. But this brings me to another issue, if I can, Brian and Anna Maria.
Sure.
Censorship and
yes, yes.
information control mm-hmm. and our way or the highway.
Yeah.
We are right, you are wrong. And they have so, thoroughly and successfully mm-hmm. suppressed any other model of treating COVID than their own. Now, why did they do this? why did Pfizer and the FDA and the CDC and the mainstream media all get on the same page so quickly? I think the answer has to do with money. For one.
You got it.
Pfizer and Moderna and the media as well makes a great deal of money on the pharmaceutical infrastructure and industry. You know, all you have to do is look at the evening news every night and see how many of
who
the
sponsors
commercials
it? Yeah. Who sponsors
you know, are from, you know, and everybody I speak with, many people I speak with say, oh, yeah, we know. Pharma, you know, just is in it for the money. But yet I got my shots. They helped me.
It is beyond my comprehension.
Well, media betrayed people. Media
how adherent people are. And families, what was happening in families. Grandmom can't come unless she has a shot. You can't go to work. Thank God there's some lawsuits that are getting traction.
You couldn't go to a restaurant. You couldn't go do anything.
So let me give some facts to the listeners here so we're not dancing in circles on this one. Number one fact, this is the first outbreak in the history of the world where we didn't try to keep people out of hospitals. Matter of fact, the first day this hit the news, they actually told lies. They told you they had the Javits Center in New York City ready for thousands of people. Nobody was there. People actually walked into hospitals and showed nobody was in the beds, and they're telling you that thousands of people are dying in the hospitals. These are factual statements. Not conspiracy theory people. We're scientists. We're not conspiracy theory people. Number two, when you look at the inability that so-called Dr. Fauci and his colleagues had in trying to prevent people from getting to a peak disorder, so they needed ventilators, that killed 82% of the people. Now we have the data on this. Mm. When you were put on a ventilator, 82% of people that were put on a ventilator never came off. They died. And ever since March of 2020, just the same time you started, I've been giving a class on that. As a matter of fact, I do a two-hour class on it. One of the things that people don't know is that, by the way, they call this a novel virus. There's 40 identical viruses that were patented. Now, you can't patent a natural virus. It's impossible. You have to actually create a virus, a microbe in a laboratory. There's 40 identical patterns. The first was by Pfizer in 1999. I can give you the date that Fauci had the University of North Carolina literally start research on this novel virus. It was 202, April the 18th of 202. We can show you his signature on that. And so this was not just a casual thing about money. This was a plan. If you read Robert F. Kennedy's book, a great hero as far as I'm concerned, I read science every single day, hours of it. I've never seen a more well-documented book, and it wasn't a science book. Every chapter had 40 pages of references, and at the end it had more than that of references. And he came out correctly as an attorney, and not a civil rights attorney, which he should have been, but an environmental attorney. And challenged them. He said, if anything's wrong in this book, sue me. He knew if they sued them, this would all be public information. And so he couldn't do it. So any of you that suspect that what we're talking about here is off the hinges, start being educated. Don't listen to your local news or your mainstream news. And don't listen to the crazies on the internet either, because a lot of nonsense came out there. But just read science. We read it. 80 to 90% of who's dying now has at least three jabs, period. The people that still get this and die, almost 90% of these people literally had at least three jabs. So what do you say about all of this?
Well, I say that we have been sold a bill of goods from day one when they said, go home and get sicker.
Yes.
And then when you can't breathe and your pulse oxygen level plummets, then come and see us. That made no sense, as you said, from the very start. Even, you know, especially given the fact that we did have medicines like hydroxychloroquine, like ivermectin, like fluvoxamine. There's a whole list of them. There are other ways to treat this illness. It wasn't that complicated, and the pandemic could have come and gone fairly easily.
Oh, yes.
I mean, you know, it was serious for some people, but it could have ended much more quickly.
As it did in Sweden. Who didn't lock down, didn't wear masks, that herd immunity.
Kids stay in school. And
as it did in New Zealand. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but on that, yeah. My point about the bill of goods we've been sold, we were also told with the vaccination that it would prevent us from getting sick.
Right.
That didn't turn out to be the case.
No,
then
the
opposite. We had to get children vaccinated so that we could prevent illness in grandma. Well, yeah. It didn't prevent the spread as well. And children, by the way, should not have to take care of adults.
That's exactly.
You know, it goes the other way around.
I mean, this is not our society. We're coming because we're going to talk about another incredibly important project that you've been involved with and have renowned for, Crazy in America. That's the book you wrote. Mm-hmm. And boy, that is really inappropriate today. The hidden tragedy of our criminalized mentality. It started in the 1980s. She's going to tell you about it. We'll be right back.
How are you feeling? Wellness awaits you right here in West Palm Beach. Hippocrates Wellness Institute has been transforming lives for over 50 years. Located on 60 lush acres, the Hippocrates Wellness Institute can reverse chronic disease, help you lose weight, increase your longevity and immunity. Call for your consultation and tour today, 561-471-8876. That's 561-471-8876 for Hippocrates Wellness Institute. Now back to health, happiness, and healing with Hippocrates on Legends 100.3. Call for your tour today, 561-471-8876, or visit HippocratesHealthInstitute.org. Now here are the hosts of Health, Happiness, and Healing with Hippocrates, Anna Maria and Brian Clement.
This is Health, Happiness, and Healing with Brian.
And Anna Maria Clement at Hippocrates Wellness. And we're here with Mary Beth Pfeiffer. She's investigative, a journalist, and author. And so you heard her now. We talked a lot about Lyme and COVID-19. And then she wrote Crazy in America, the hidden tragedy of our criminalized mentally ill. How did this come about, Mary?
Again, this was an extension of investigative reporting that I did over a long career. And it began with looking at the prisons in New York State. We, as many states around the country, had this explosion of prison populations and prisons dotting our countrysides over the course of maybe 20 years in the 80s and 90s. And it grew out of, in part at least, the closing of our facilities for people with mental illness.
Yes.
What we did was we released people who desperately needed care and needed support and needed housing.
Yes.
The facilities that they were kept in were inhumane, to be sure. But we didn't provide for them once they were set loose on the streets. And many of them ended up in our jails and in our prisons. And it can be said that we did an even worse job of caring for people who were vulnerable, who were ill, in facilities with bars than we did in facilities for the mentally ill before them.
What do you think happened with America's empathy and compassion in the 1980s? I mean, we used to be Americans. We took care of one another. We supported one another. Our patriotism was love for other Americans. What happened? Mm-hmm. What turned that? Why did the politicians decide to scrap people at that point?
I'm not sure I would agree with you, Brian.
Okay, you don't
have to. I'm not sure we loved our neighbors to the extent that we took very good care of them. Mm-hmm. And I come from Staten Island. It's where I began my investigative reporting career. And there was a facility there called the Willowbrook State School.
Yes, yes, yes.
And this was not a facility for people with mental illness, but rather for people with what we call now developmental disabilities,
yes.
For the mentally retarded, for people who were born with hydrocephalic illness, where their heads were swelled, and where people who were different and who didn't fit into society and need a lot of support were also warehoused. And we kept people there for lifetimes and did not provide the care that they needed as well. So I think we have shut our eyes to the needs of people who are weak, are infirm for many, many years.
So let me ask you this.
The turn of the century, we called them lunatics and idiots.
But there was a critical moment in the early 1980s where we opened up the doors of these institutions that were funded by U.S. tax dollars, and we let these people pour on the street. Now, there was a percentage of them that were literal criminals, but that was a very small percentage from what I recall. They were more so people who were so lost and so confused and just in the way of people. And so they somehow got back into the legal system, which became privatized so that some wealthy guy or a corporation could make money on people being in jail. And it was actually amplified during the 1990s, as I recall.
Yes. Yeah. And I agree with you there that that was a helpful time when there were court decisions saying you can't keep people incarcerated or in facilities for the mentally ill against their will, unless there are certain, you know, criteria that are met, they're a danger to themselves or their others, or to others. So it was a hopeful time, and good things came out of that movement. There are group homes that exist to this day that have made very, you know, wonderful places for people to live. But as this continuum proceeded, what we found was the incentive to make money emerged on many levels, in prisons, in homes for people who are infirm, in the healthcare system.
Yes.
Money has driven so many decisions and has, you know, risen to such a
They've literally locked up people who needed help to make money on them. And some outrageous number I found out, Strong Thurmond was a big part of this movement. Wasn't it something like they make $90,000 to $100,000 on each prisoner?
Oh, yes, yes. In New York State, that's probably the average right now.
Wow.
But interestingly, one of the last articles I wrote for, you know, while I was an investigative journalist in the mainstream, now I'm not in the mainstream anymore, was about a center for what we call the mentally retarded. It was still open. And I found in doing some of my research that the state and federal government were providing $1 million per person per year to that facility.
$1 million. And we don't have enough.
You can look at.
We don't have enough money to feed people. But look at Mary Beth, I could go on for another 5 days with you. You're a wealth of knowledge, and we need more people like you here in this country and around the world. How do people get a hold of you, Mary Beth Pfeiffer? How do they read these books? How do they understand more? Do you have a website?
Yes, thank you for asking. It's called thefirstepidemic.com, named after my book, Lyme, the First Epidemic of Climate Change. I encourage people to go there. My email address is all over there, so please write to me. And there is a page called Read My Articles. So you can see both my COVID articles on vaccines and on treatments, as well as what I've written on Lyme disease. And I really do urge, as you do, look hard and long at how we are managing COVID and keep an open mind to a different way.
Well, we're going to have you back on
Great.
Again, Mary Beth.
Thank you so much.
For all of you listening all over the world, if it wasn't provocative, you must be on some kind of a psychiatric drug. So we'll be
Thank
back
you.
With you next week.
Yes. Okay.
Thanks for listening to Health, Happiness, and Healing with Hippocrates on Legends 100.3. Call for your tour today, 561-471-8876, or visit HippocratesHealthInstitute.org.